This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. Download the WRP Rat Pack Radio app on Google Play, BlackBerry, and the Apple Store. If you're streaming, you can stream us on TuneIn.com, Web Radio Central, or RatPackSports.com/RatPackRadio.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to...
You're listening to the Rat Pack Sports Show live on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR.
It's new, it's fresh, it's a slam dunk!
The Underground, discovering hidden talent worldwide. Playing daily on Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Come join the pack.
You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR, Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual...
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's a drive! Way back! It might be! It could be! Yeah!
It's my favorite part coming up right now. Watch your tongue.
Another week bringing you the best is in sports talk and entertainment. Wednesday night, live streaming on RatPackSports.com, also the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We're in the building for another week. You can find us on Podbean, RatPackSportsShow.podbean.com. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on TuneIn. You can find us on iHeart. You can find us on YouTube as well, Rat Pack Sports on YouTube. We're all over the place, man. So we are here and able to bring you the show here on Wednesday night. And you know, thankful. That we're able to bring you the show due to, you know, the hurricane skirting a little bit to the west and to the north. But also, you know, thoughts and prayers to those up in the north. I got North Florida region, the panhandle, you know. I got family in Tallahassee, so I know people in Tallahassee.
and you feel bad for them. And it's in that one time where you, it's kind of a little bit of a little selfish. Don't come here. Anything better than coming here. I'd rather just stay where it's at. Stay out over the water. But a lot of the times, or some of the times, most of the storms do stay over water. But, you know, sometimes they have no choice but to, you know, interact with land. And, you know, these type of situations happen. You know, you just hope for the best and prepare for the worst almost in these situations. So, we're here tonight. You know, I work first response. You know, I'm out in this stuff the second that is safe enough for us to go out there and, you know, do our checks and make sure the roads and stuff is clear. I've rode around a lot today. I've been in a lot of, you know, post-storm cleanup and all of that stuff. And it's never fun seeing the damage, but this, you know, the first time doing all my storm cleanup, I've seen some flooding. Now I've seen some flooding, no joke. I've seen some flooding. Certain areas where, you know, we know, you know, the flooding is gonna happen, and there's not really a whole lot you could do to, you know, avoid that flood situation. Is just you know, the region you in, the area you stay in. But some of the flooding I seen today, you can't, you know, a lot of people, I hope, you know, that's in these very, very, very low-lying areas, understand why people tell you when you're dealing with storm surge to get out. You know, you got to pay attention, and you got to understand the ramifications of you trying to stick it out when you're dealing with storm surge. Some of the areas that was inundated with water, I've never seen. I've seen it with the water before, but I've never seen the amount of water, you know, in these areas. And I've never seen the amount of water cover roads that, you know, I saw cover roads today. And I'm not going to say we got lucky, right? I mean, there's an old saying, they always say, oh, you know, you dodged a bullet or, you know, we were spared. First of all, we live on a massive piece of land that does not move. It doesn't dodge, you know, storms, any of that. It just didn't come our way. It just didn't, you know, come our way. So sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. A lot of times when they do, the way the storm passes, we don't deal with surge. Most of those times, we see water get pumped out of our bay, and you can walk almost 2 miles out into the bay with no water. This time around, you know, what people been talking about for years, if the storm passes us to our northeast, you know, going inland to our north, you get that onshore wind and you have a water event like no other. Well, we had that happen with this particular storm. It was a very, very big storm, and it passed us to our north and pushed all that water in the Gulf into the bay, into our, you know, estuaries and river, you know, our canals and lakes. And Now you see, hopefully people see now the seriousness of storm surge. Forget about the wind. Forget about the rain. That's the storm surge by itself. You don't even need a lot of rain. Just the storm surge by itself is, the number one killer in all storm systems. People survive the 120, 30, 40 miles an hour winds. People survive, the tornadoes. You don't survive the storm surge. Because you literally get trapped. And you just stuck. You're trapped. So, other than that, most of the area is in pretty good shape. And, people were able to, get back home safely. And that's really all matters. But this one here was different. This one here was definitely different than what, we normally would be used to seeing this from storm surge. Like, I've never seen some of the places, neighborhoods, whole neighborhoods just flooded out. But, minimum, loss of power. We did have some outages and stuff like that. But for the most part, this area is doing well. And that's why tonight I'm able to bring you guys the show, because the situation was a lot better than expected. So we're going to get into a lot, man. We're going to talk, we're going to talk a lot of NFL, college. We're going to talk some college. Okay, let's see. Razor playing on TV. We got the line here on the line, so we're going to bring him in. Rat Pack Sports Shows. Mr. William Gray's on the line. We got him on the line. We're going to talk. We got the fantasy football draft here coming up Sunday night during our show. We're going to do it for the show. And we're going to listen to Boss Hogg and William Graves go after each other. That's the best part of it. Yeah, that's the best part of it, to listen to these two guys, go after each other's throats. This is very, very friendly rivalry that's been going on over the last 5+ years.
Years. But I do want to clarify something. The trash that me and Boss Hogg, Sean Naylor, the trash that we talk to each other, listeners, do not take any of it, literally any of it, seriously. We are joking. We are having a good time. The reason I'm bringing this up, evidently, last fantasy football draft, I said something to a listener who messaged me and was kind of concerned that me and Boss Hogg really did not like each other. And I had to reassure her. I'm going to presume it was a her, because that was the profile picture that she had, that this individual had up. But I had to reassure this listener that me and Boss Hogg do not hate each other. We, Boss Hogg has slowly become, just like the rest of the guys in the Rat Pack, very good. He has become a very good friend, just like you, Derek, just like Nicky Buckets. You know, we enjoy the friendly rivalry, and it's not going to stop. But just to let everybody know, no, me and Boss Hogg do not really hate each other. We actually laugh about 90% of the stuff that we say to each other afterwards. But with that being said, this is how we do it, Boss Hogg. Really? You couldn't come up with anything better than to root for your third string mediocre quarterback? Come on, man.
Oh, boy.
I mean, look, if Carson Wentz and Nathan Peterman had a kid, it would be Sam Howell.
Yeah, you know he's gonna. If he's listening, he'll be calling in here pretty soon.
But he's not gonna take that.
He's not gonna take that abuse.
Well, I mean, he's taken enough abuse over the last couple of years. You know, getting beat three times by the same guy—that's gotta suck. And then on top of that, being a fan of a football team that for a year couldn't even decide what their name was? Ouch. Man. Yeah. Yeah, Boss Hogg suffered enough. I might just graciously put him out early in the season instead of dangling him like a little mouse over a freaking snake's cage.
You gonna old yell him?
We gonna do something. But before all the fun and games start, something I want to ask seriously. Debo, how are you guys doing in Florida?
Well, my region is doing okay. We're doing good.
Okay.
You know, North Florida, Tallahassee, Gainesville, Cedar Key, not mm-hmm. so good. Even though we didn't get hit, we did get the most outer portion of the hurricane because it was 150 miles off the coast.
Ooh. All right.
Gainesville, Tallahassee area, even Georgia, got a hurricane, very powerful hurricane. And because it stayed in the water as long as it did, by the time it made landfall, it was a category four storm.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that region, I think it's been a long time since that region seen a storm like of that magnitude. They're kind of in that sweet spot, right? Because usually mm-hmm. the storm comes into the Gulf, you know, comes into the Gulf from the Atlantic. It heads west.
Okay.
If a storm, you know, starts in the Caribbean, it heads, you know, northeast. It misses
right.
Most of the time, it misses that Big Bend area of mm-hmm. of Florida. Well,
yeah.
Here was the problem with this particular storm. You had another Category 4 hurricane that was in the Atlantic.
Oh man!
And they were pretty much moving in sync of each other. So that Category 4 storm in the Atlantic was spinning. Two high pressure systems is like you trying to put two magnets together. It don't work. So there, you know,
no.
That storm didn't move as fast as they thought, And because that full storm didn't move as fast as they thought, the hurricane kept going north. And until that other storm moves out the way so it can clear a path for it to go east, it stayed north. And because of that, it ended up where, you know, where it ended up. It couldn't go east. It was basically, you know, they was expecting the northeast track, and it just went straight north.
Well, and any estimation as to how much damage is done?
I haven't heard anything yet.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure tomorrow morning you'll get a better idea of, you know, what the damage is, because it was just this morning, 8 o'clock this morning that it you know, made landfall 7 a.m. I think somewhere around that where it made landfall up in that area. So
well, you know, Devo, first and foremost, we are glad that you, your family, and everybody like that is okay. It's safe. You guys are safe. I know you you saw my little post on Facebook and everything and all that. Been having people kind of check in all over that Clearwater, Tampa Bay area and everything. Everybody seems to be doing fine. A little bit of flooding. But secondly, our thoughts, our prayers, our well wishes go out to the places that were hit hard. We're thinking about you. You know, we're here for you guys. Anything that we can do within reason to help, you guys, reach out. I mean, if I can come down and clean up or whatever, just message me. I'll be on the next flight down there. But yeah, Debo, we're glad that you guys are okay.
Yeah, man. Definitely. You know, every storm is a different experience. You know, we went through Irma. Widespread damage. Like,
yep.
I don't think a lot of people, if you weren't in this locals or you didn't live in this area, or you didn't follow it as much, you didn't see the widespread damage that Irma caused. It wasn't really talked about on a national scale, but we were cleaning up for like 6 months after that. I mean, it's a lot of damage. Trees, you know, damaged roofs.
Well,
just all kind of damage, man. But this one here was just basically, you know, a flood event. And a lot of people ain't seen, a lot of people hadn't seen this type of, you know, flood before, because we never had a storm come at that perfect, that sweet spot to push that water in.
Yep.
And this, you know, the first time some people have done experienced that. And, you know, Cat 4 storm pushing in all that water. You know, we 4 to 7 feet storm surge. On the storm that was almost 150 miles away.
Yeah,
I mean that's crazy.
Well, the thing is, Devo, is that unless you live in a state like Florida, like Georgia, like New Orleans, like Texas, and I think even a couple of times in California. And just on those coastal states, people don't realize the magnitude that these hurricanes really cause. And folks, look, there is a lot of things I miss about living in Florida. Let me tell you, hurricanes is not one of them.
Oh no. No, man.
But
for 6 months, every year, man. For 6 months, yes, every year.
Yep, yep. It's pretty much standby. I remember those, even though they were a while back. I remember those very well. Since we are a sports show and everything, want to kind of touch on something and all that. The major colleges down there, the Miamis, the USFs, the FAUs, the FIUs, Florida State, Florida, do you think that this hurricane is going to cause any of these teams to maybe have to move their game somewhere or postpone it?
No. I mean, I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, is Florida State playing at home?
That's what I don't know, because if I understood it correctly, Florida State is playing LSU in the Chick-fil-A kickoff game, if I'm understanding that correctly, and that's usually played in Atlanta, Georgia. But I don't know if Atlanta got any damage on this hurricane or not. I really did not see exactly how the tornado or how the hurricane turned or anything like that. So I really have not seen the trajectory or anything like that. So I was kind of asking you, because I mean, I know that, you know, with you having the job that you have working for the city and everything, I mean, you guys are always on top of that. So I didn't know exactly what kind of thoughts you had on them having to move any games or anything like that.
I haven't heard anything of them having to move any games. I mean, it's what's the day? Wednesday. So yeah, I haven't heard any. Whoa, what highway is this? Is that Hal Franklin? Wow, I didn't realize that. Okay, so basically, yeah. See, this flooding here was serious. So, Hal Franklin Bridge. You know that bridge, William.
Yeah.
So the northbound 275 lanes were shut down on the bridge.
Ooh,
because
okay.
It was flooded. It's covered in water.
That, you know, I would like to say that surprises me, but
it's not.
It's really low.
It's really low right there. I mean, it is really low right there, so it's not really surprising that water did come over the top. I mean, it's, you know, really it's only about from the road to the water line. It's probably about a foot and a half. It's no more than 2 feet, so I can see that, you know, see that happening. But yeah, they had road closures all over the place, and you know, a lot of flooding, you know. So yeah, but
Well, while you were looking at that and everything, I was kind of looking up to see who was playing who. LSU is, I guess they are playing at Florida State. Florida is actually going to be out in Utah. And Miami has a home game on Friday. University of South Florida is actually in Western Kentucky.
That should be a good game. Florida, Utah?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. A pretty I think that's going to be a pretty even matchup. By the way, I told you guys that if I ever found out that I was wrong about something, that I'd be the first one to admit it. It happened a lot quicker than I thought it would, and it really wasn't that good of a game. I mean, they really didn't play anybody. But I watched the Trojans' opening game against San Jose State. I think I might have been wrong about Caleb Williams.
Oh yeah, man! Told you go look, go check him out, man.
The presence that he has in the pocket, that was most noticeable to me. He really, he threw for four touchdowns, really didn't have that many yards, but that's not really what I was looking at. I was just looking at his demeanor. Now, Do I still think that he might be a little overhyped? Yeah, I do. But I see what you guys see in him. And so I just wanted to kind of admit to you that I might possibly be wrong about him.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's a good player. I'm not guaranteeing that, you know, he'll get drafted and, you know, be this top quarterback. But far as college football is concerned, you're not gonna find three guys better than him. You might not even find two guys better than him. That was all my point was, you know, as far as being the top overall draft pick, next draft with the ability that, you know, he could do, you know, throwing the ball and stuff like that.
Well, like I said, I took a few mental notes on that in that game, and I'm beginning to see what you guys see in them.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna pay a lot of attention to what he's doing this year, just to see if he can, you know, live up to the hype. Like you say, there's a lot of hype behind him. And when there's a lot of hype behind you, you got to step up to the plate.
Yep, absolutely.
So it's his time now.
His time. Absolutely.
And if he does it, it'll show. If he don't step up, it'll show.
Yep, absolutely. So what's on your mind tonight, Debo?
I don't know, man. I was going to let you come in and bring whatever you had, because these last couple of days for me been super busy.
Yeah.
So I haven't really paid that much attention to a whole lot in the sports world because, I wasn't really, focused on.
You had more important things on your mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever you got, man. I know you got some, something to start the conversation with, so.
Let's go ahead and let's dive into a little bit of baseball.
Okay.
And everything. One thing I wanted to ask you about is the superstar of the Los Angeles Angels.
Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, Mr. Ohtani. Now, this happened a couple weeks ago, but we really didn't get a chance to touch on it. But he has been taken out of the rotation in pitching because of an injury. He was still batting DH and everything. Just kind of wanted to get your perspective on it.
Well, I mean, we've talked a lot about his ability to pitch and his ability to swing the bat, at the plate. And the best thing about him is even when he can't pitch, he can still affect the game because he's probably one of the top five best hitters in the whole league as a pitcher. And the fact that you could just say, okay, you're not going to pitch the rest of the season and still run this dude out here in the lineup as a designated hitter is a win. It's really a win-win. It sucks he can't pitch. But he can affect the game just as big with his bat. You're really not, losing a whole lot. Obviously, you're losing out the pitching rotation, but other than that, he's still in the lineup with, 40-some home runs on the year.
Well, the thing that I look at and it was actually something that all of us kind of covered during a conversation, one of those few conversations that the entire gang was on the air. And it was the fact that when somebody does that and is playing every day, And one of those positions is pitching. We all said that eventually something was going to have to get. And the thing is that if Ohtani never throws another pitch in his career, He is going to go down as a once in a lifetime player.
Yeah,
not a generation.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think he's done enough. in this short time pitching and at the plate that if he don't throw another pitch, he's still going to go down as the best two-way player in the game, period.
Well, the thing is that we, and we've said this, and I will not speak for you, Debo. I will speak for myself. I meant what I said when the last dominant player that was around, like Ohtani, was George Herman Ruth, the Babe. We got to see a modern day Babe Ruth.
Yep.
And you know what? And you know what? His pitching career may not be over, but he is having Tommy John surgery. That is one of the that is what used to be called the pitcher killer was Tommy John surgery. Now medicine has evolved head and shoulders since then, but Tommy John surgery, Debo, it's no joke. It's rough. Now I've seen pitchers come back from it, but I'll tell you, and I think even they'll tell you that after that surgery they lost a little bit. Now, I don't know how much they lost, but it's something.
Well, what I believe is. Yeah, you know, as a pitcher, you do lose something on your power and your speed. But if you are a pitcher, then you will still be dominant because you don't rely on just the fastball. You can place the ball. You got Ohtani got 4 or 5 pitches. So he don't need that power. I mean, the dude's throwing 100 miles an hour. So if he loses a little bit, he's still throwing 97. Dude, that's still 97. You know, Jason Verlander had Tommy John surgery, and he dialed it back a little bit. But when he needed, he still can bring it.
Yep. 96, 97, 98. Yep, absolutely. You know. But that's also why what I said that, you know, yeah, if you talk to pitchers, they'll say that they might have lost a little bit. And for those of you guys that don't know what Tommy John surgery is, it's pretty much a reconstruction of the ligament right there around your elbow. And they usually take a ligament from elsewhere to fix it.
Yeah. It's a 8, you know, 12 to 16 month rehab. Like,
yep.
It's a big time surgery, man.
Yep, yes it is. But, you know, Ohtani, you know, I'm wishing him the best. And I do hope he's able to go out and pitch again. But I'm kind of wondering if this wasn't a wake-up call to the Angels. And maybe they put Ohtani in as a – maybe they still let him pitch. But, you know, maybe he moves to a setup guy or a closer, you know, where he's not throwing as much. Now, I'm sure that a lot of that will depend on what he wants and everything, you know, the medical staff or what have you. But, yeah, like I said, even if he does not ever throw another pitch, single-handedly one of the most dominant players, if not the most dominant player in baseball today. Look, I'll even say this. If he was to come out and retire right now, it might rub some people the wrong way. But honestly, he would probably make it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because what he's done, what he has done is, it's never been done before.
Nope, he's been dominant. And we're not talking about a couple of games. Because there, I forgot who it was, but it was maybe Daryl Strawberry, Bobby Bonilla, somebody like that, came in from the outfield one time and pitched one inning or something like that. It was something ridiculous. Folks, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a guy that has proven over the process of a couple of seasons, and I even include this season, that he is not a fluke. This man is the real deal. And like I said, yes, it would probably rub people the wrong way, but if he came out and retired today, the first time that he was eligible for the Hall of Fame, he would get in. There's not a doubt in my mind. Do I necessarily think it's fair? Yes and no. The yes part, what we just talked about, the man is dominant. You cannot take away the dominance that he has displayed. The no part, because there's some other people that need to be in the Hall of Fame before him. But if he got in, if he got in his first time, I can't say I'd be mad. I wouldn't be mad, and I wouldn't be surprised. That's just kind of how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Angels are in a good situation now, and I believe that no matter what, whether he pitches or, you know, he's on the lighter workload pitching-wise or they move him to the bullpen, you know, he's going to be worth whatever they pay him. Now, him not pitching anymore, that'll be solely up to, you know, Otani and what he wants to do. If he wants to continue to pitch, the Angels is not going to tell him, no, you can't pitch. They'll let him continue to pitch, and he will be a great pitcher.
Yeah. By the way, a little scoring update for you. Just came across that the Rays beat the Marlins in extra innings.
Good.
3-0.
Oh, man. That, so they went to extra innings, 0-0. That was a nice little pitching duel.
Yes, sir. They are now officially two games back of the Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore's been, you know, they've been surprising, man. I don't know, well, not surprising, but, I mean, to have the best record, second best record in baseball, Braves are still just chugging along, man. Dodgers are right there. Yeah. You know, there's only four teams in baseball with 80 wins. And that's the Rays, Baltimore, Atlanta, and The Dodgers.
Yep. Some pretty good company. And right now the Braves are leading the Colorado Rockies. Of course, the game time-wise, it just started. But, Devo, they're already in the bottom of the third. And this is the thing.
Oh, did we lose him?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what happened? You was like, here's the thing. This is the thing. And then you disappeared on us.
This is the thing, Debo. The game started 20 minutes ago.
And they're already in the third inning?
Yes.
Dude, how's that even?
If I'm understanding it right, it started at 9 p.m., which would be 6 o'clock out there in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm. Yeah.
So 20 minutes and they're already in the third inning.
So you're getting a lot of balls hit. I would say there's a lot of balls being hit in the plate for quick outs. Yeah, so the Rays, last 10 games, they're 8-2 in their last 10.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, they struggled in the month of July. And the Rays fan base was in a panic because, you know, we were well below 500 as a team in the month of July. And sometimes that happens. But good teams rebound and good teams figure it out and get themselves, you know, back going in the right direction. And that's what they've done.
Yeah. I was just looking at the Yankees score. They beat the Detroit Tigers today. But they are still 3 games below 500. They are 65-68.
Boy, if the Yankees finish under 500, when does that happen?
I'll put it to you this way. The last time I remember it happening was in the mid to late 80s. And they were only below 500 at the start of the season, and then they came on strong, because this was back when you had the Don Mattingly leagues and the Wade Boggs, and you had Bernie Williams.
Okay, yeah.
Players like that. And, you know, during that era of the Yankees. Now, yeah, and fans, yes, I know Bernie Williams played in a different time than the Don Mattingly leagues and the Wade Boggs, but it was all a part of that little 15, 20-year tear where the Yankees were just dominant. But the Yankees' fall from grace has been swift and it has been painful. I almost feel bad for Yankee fans. Almost.
Can't feel, why? can't feel bad for them, man.
Well, see, I understand where you're coming from. I'm coming from the place of history and baseball. But I understand your dislike for your division rivals.
Yeah. Yep. So what we're gonna do here, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll come back. And we will continue the conversation here live on the Rat Pack Sports Show, streaming online, ratpacksports.com, and the Rat Pack Radio WRPR app. We will be back after this.